Reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. These words will also serve as the basis for our devotion today. Following that, we will join in singing the first two verses of our hymn, and you please note you remain seated for that. We hear these words from Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. She went into the store to buy something, but realized she didn't have enough money. And so she decided to follow her heart and shoplift. He found himself attracted to another woman, and so he decided to follow his heart and leave his wife and children for her. He had such anger for his coworker that he decided to follow his heart and bring a gun to work and shoot up the place. She was so jealous of her classmate that she decided to follow her heart and trash her reputation of her friend on social media. He was so angry at his wife that he decided to follow his heart and scream obscenities at her and strike her across the face. He was so full of sexual lust that he decided to follow his heart and conduct an online search to fulfill his fantasies. He wanted to gain wealth so badly that he decided to follow his heart and not report all of his income to the IRS. Now, wisdom in our culture today tells us to follow our hearts. One of the most prominent theologians in our country today who has had the greatest influence on our society theologically, I'd like to read off of their website under Follow Your Heart. This is Oprah Winfrey. She's had the greatest spiritual influence on our culture. When you honor the wisdom in your heart, then you act from this core of your being. You experience it in those moments when your needs and worries quietly dissolve and confusion or pain no longer dominates. Tears may spontaneously arise, and there's a sensation of great warmth and peace. Get more deeply in touch with this loving center of your being. The text that we read earlier is sure different from that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. God takes out his instruments and performs spiritual surgery down inside of me and inside of you. And he gives us the proper diagnosis of our hearts. Not what the world tells us, not the skin level feelings that we want to look at, but he goes down inside. He goes deep inside the spiritual body to find this heart and gives us this analysis. He takes his instruments of his law and goes down and divides between joints and marrow, soul and spirit. Listen to what Jesus says. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Even the Aztec Indians knew there was something wrong deep down inside of man. And when someone was so evil, they would take them and cut open their chest to find their physical heart and pull it out and extract it and throw it toward God. Because they knew there was something inside of people that was just so wicked and so evil. In fact, the heart of us as individuals is so wicked and corrupt, the Bible says, that it even deceives itself. It deceives itself by telling us that it's not so bad. It deceives itself by conjuring up in our minds an assessment of who we are spiritually as if we're not such bad people before God. When I was in about sixth grade, my class went up for a tour, a kind of a class day to learn things up in Minneapolis. And I remember we went to the Minneapolis Police Department, and we came into this room that they were showing us, and a police officer was explaining the purpose of this room. It was kind of a longer room, and on the floor was a piece of tape that went all the way to the back end, and then there was a camera back there. And the purpose of it was, this room was for DUIs. They would bring the person caught drunk driving to the door and tell them to walk on the straight line toward the camera. And the purpose of it was this. He said that many people would fight their DUIs and decide to show up in court and fight their DUIs, and so they decided, let's videotape the person and show them the tape of themselves before they actually decide to go get a lawyer. And that took away about 70% of the cases because people finally realized the evidence. Sometimes we are so drunk with our sin, our hearts are so full of deceit about ourselves and pride, that it's hard for us to really realize how bad our condition is. God is the one who has to come through his word, perform surgery on us, and look inside of me, look inside of you, and give us this analysis. And it's not good. You know, we hear people sometimes talk about give your heart to Jesus. Why would you want to give him something so desperately wicked as this? We can't even muster up the strength to do that. It's impossible. So the depth of our spiritual destitute condition has to be shown us by God. He has to be the one that shows us what's going on inside of us. When I was about 9 years old, there was the first heart transplant that took place. Dr. Christian Bernard, in 1967, performed the first heart transplant, and boy, did that make the news. It was all over the place. It's considered to this day the most widely reported medical event in history. Our gracious Heavenly Father, out of love for you and me, has dedicated himself and his life to providing you with a new heart, just like that doctor dedicated his life to that surgery. God speaks through Jeremiah earlier in the book and says this, I will put the fear of me in their hearts. So God will put the fear of him, love of him in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. The prophet Ezekiel says it this way from God, I will give you a new heart and put my spirit in you. And he does this through the waters of baptism and through God's word and the message that brings us to the cross of our Savior. This is how God now comes through these interesting means of grace. Those are his surgical tools to go down inside of us and to give us now this new heart that recognizes our sin, but is also shown the wonderful grace and mercy of Christ and what he's done for us, to shed his blood so that all of that sin could be wiped away before God's throne, and who gives us the very perfect, holy, spotless record that you and I need to have entrance into heaven. Along with that new heart comes an appreciation for God and his grace, a love for him, a love for his word. It comes with a longing inside of us to get to heaven someday and out of this veil of tears. All of that is packaged in this new heart that God now surgically, by his grace, puts inside of us through his word and through his sacraments. This spiritual heart transplant that has taken place, God performs that on us purely by his mercy for us. And because of that, the believer now longs for this healing, this internal healing of our corrupted hearts. Through faith, the believer cries out, as we see in our text, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. The believer now in his heart sings to God with this new heart, Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. Sometimes our own hearts get the best of us and remind us over and over of our sins and trouble us with things we've done in the past and maybe even make us afraid of the day that we're going to die and judgment because of that. But in this new heart, God speaks to us through his word and says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear me? There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.